Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness and minister your justice with compassion. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before I ever came to St. Thomas, here's what stood out to me. I saw a parish with a diversity of ethnicities all worshiping together. I saw a parish whose previous rector was a woman, and not just any woman, but a woman of color. To this day, women and people of color have a more difficult time finding positions even within the Episcopal Church. When I looked at St. Thomas, I also saw a parish engaged in Kitchen of Hope and Family Promise, big ministries that seemed all out of proportion with a small congregation. Before St. Thomas spoke its first word to me in interviews and in conversations, I heard St. Thomas living into today's collect, proclaiming God's truth with boldness and ministering God's justice with compassion. You won my heart before you ever said the first word. I saw in you a people bringing into being the kingdom of God in imitation of our Lord. In our gospel reading today, Jesus, who was God in the flesh, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. So God, the creator of the universe, the one who could heal every disease and sickness with a word, is not satisfied with making a technical fix from afar. God is not satisfied to convey God's teaching via a Netflix special or even via Zoom. God could have used TikTok or Instagram. God could send an email. God could send a tweet. God could call every telephone in the world at the same time and speak to everyone in their own language, just like at Pentecost. God could speak in a voice that reverberated throughout the planet. Or God could proclaim God's message in the sky, spelled out with the stars. Or God could implant that message, sure and unadulterated, into every human brain. God could do any of those things without breaking a sweat. But here is what God did instead. God experienced pain. God endured childbirth, circumcision, and all the pains and challenges of a tiny new body struggling to survive its first weeks of life. God endured schooling and adolescence and blue-collar labor as a tradesperson who worked in wood and stone. God worked hard. God banged God's thumb with a hammer more than once. God was cheated by unscrupulous customers. God struggled through recessions when work was scarce, and enjoyed plentiful work when the Romans decided to build a new city just a couple miles from Nazareth. God knows pain. So God in the flesh walked the dusty, sweaty roads from one city and village to another, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and sickness. That's how Jesus operates to this day. He enters the context of our pain and carries that pain along with us. Jesus knows pain, and Jesus heals us with his solidarity. Now, since early March, here in the United States, and earlier for anyone who is paying attention, we have been enduring the pain of sickness, death, and economic shock from COVID-19. That has taken its toll on us and was quite enough pain and distress on its own, thank you. But then in recent weeks, since Memorial Day, we have been brutally awakened once more to the painful disparities in how different groups of people are treated in the United States. Horrific videos and news reports of modern-day lynchings, not with rope, but with guns and with knees, have resulted in protests across our nation and around the world. And our own responses to what is going on have varied widely as we have grappled with all kinds of different emotions that this news kindles in us. The tendency that I've noticed, and this is not a rule, but a kind of a general tendency, is that among some of us who identify as white, our tendency has been to focus on the moment. We see violence and fire. We see emotionally charged protests. We see police officers putting their lives on the line. It all looks threatening. And sometimes we're surprised by the level of response to the death of a single individual. That's the story as it looks from afar, without context. That's judgment from a distance. That is a self-protective engagement that will only go so far. But up close to people who more readily see themselves and what's happening, I hear a different story. From my black colleagues and friends, from conversations here at St. Thomas and elsewhere, I hear great pain and anguish. I hear a visceral connection. Our own senator here in New Jersey, Cory Booker, talked last week about how he thinks twice before changing into his tennis shoes and shorts so he can jog home from the office. Our Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, spoke this week about how easily it could have been him who was killed after a minor speeding infraction, or a broken taillight, or even just driving through the wrong neighborhood. The Surgeon General tells of being repeatedly detained by police and security guards in grocery stores and shopping centers where he was accused of things he did not do. And he points to racism as a growing, not receding, a growing barrier in education, to the fact that fewer black men attend medical school today than did 30 years ago. Members of our own St. Thomas community recounted their stories when we met last Wednesday. They told their stories of encountering racism in housing, of being stopped on the New Jersey Turnpike, and of their ongoing concern for their own children. Presiding Bishop Curry observed in a recent sermon that policing and the unequal treatment of the black community is nothing new at all. It is an issue that his own father, who was also a priest, dealt with when Bishop Curry was a child. And so today, black and white both say together, Shouldn't we be over this by now? And sadly, the evidence around us says, yeah, maybe we should be, but we aren't. Not by a long shot. Things have improved in some ways, but huge disparities remain. The United States continues to exact a heavy psychological, spiritual, and economic tax upon people who don't identify as white. And so to persons of color here at St. Thomas, I say this. Your parish stands with you. You are valued. Your lives matter. You are important members of this community. You have a voice, and your story is an important part of the fabric of this, our parish. To those at St. Thomas who identify as white, I say this. Now is the time for us to follow the example of Jesus by showing up. This is the time to care for our sisters and brothers who, through their whole lives, have been given a false message that their lives are worth less than others. Now is the time for us to listen. Our stories, white stories, get told all the time. But there are some other stories coming around, shocking stories to those of us who haven't heard them before, about what it means to live in America while black. These stories are distressing to hear. Sometimes they make us feel guilty. These stories invite us to feel another's pain. They invite us to imitate Jesus, to bring healing with our solidarity. Now, this can be a fearsome challenge. But when I fail to meet my sister or brother's pain, that is a spiritual blockage. That is a mass that is blocking off part of my spirit from the life-giving breath of God. And so I come to church to confess that blockage, to pray, to serve, to be in relationship, in order to make myself available to God to reduce that mass and save me from its pernicious effects. Sometimes this spiritual chemotherapy is terribly hard and painful. It can feel like it's going to kill me. But I come to church in order to enter more fully into God's kingdom, to feel the pain of those around me, to practice solidarity, and to learn how to love without getting shut down by an enormous load of guilt and defensiveness. I also come to church in order to learn how to speak out to family and friends against prejudice and oppression. I come to church in order to learn to soothe my own anxiety about slogans like Black Lives Matter. Instead of being afraid of what others might think, I learn to take up that slogan myself in response to the marginalization of black lives around me, my sisters and brothers in Christ, because I stand in solidarity with them. Jesus died for us, standing in solidarity with us while we were yet sinners, in order that we might answer the call of the prophet Micah, who said, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Everyone who bears the name of Christian is called to this same work, to Jesus' work among all the cities and villages of Galilee, to teach and proclaim and to heal. We may not always teach with words or proclaim with impressive arguments or heal with supernatural signs, but we are all called to teach with our attitudes, to proclaim with our presence, and to heal by tenderly acknowledging each other's pain. Amen.